it on a baguette. Meet the villains, how mid-century Parisian cafe culture spawned theories more convoluted than their cigarette smoke. Our story begins in mid-century Paris, where apparently the combination of essential despair, unfiltered Gauloises, and excessive quantities of espresso created the perfect breeding ground for theories so unnecessarily complex they make assembling IKEA furniture look straightforward by comparison. Picture a scene. Dimly lit cafes filled with turtleneck-wearing intellectuals gesturing wildly as they explain why literally everything you thought you understood about reality is wrong, all while blowing cigarette smoke directly into the face of accessibility. These weren't just any intellectuals. They were French intellectuals, which meant they approached theory the way French waiters approach service, with a baseline assumption that you're too stupid to deserve clarity and a profound irritation at having to engage with you at all. The result was structuralism, a theoretical approach that insisted all human phenomena, from language to fashion to your irrational fear of clowns, could be understood by analyzing the hidden structures underlying them. Not content with this already questionable premise, the same cafes later spawned post-structuralism, which essentially said, actually, those structures don't exist either. Nothing means anything, and we're going to need 14 more espressos to explain why. What's truly impressive about these twin intellectual movements is how they manage to take fields that normal people might actually care about. Literature, anthropology, psychology, linguistics, and transform them into impenetrable thickets of jargon that ensured only the most determined or masochistic students would ever make it through a single journal article. It's like they looked at academia and thought, this isn't excluding enough people yet. How can we make this even less accessible to the unwashed masses? Why understanding language required making it incomprehensible? The supreme irony of structuralism and post-structuralism is that these theories ostensibly aim to help us understand communication while being communicated in prose so opaque it makes concrete look transparent. It's like someone offering to teach you how to swim by throwing you into the Mariana Trench with your hands tied behind your back and a dictionary of naval terminology stuffed down your throat. Structuralists like Ferdinand de Saussure started reasonably enough, pointing out that language is a system of signs where words, signifiers, relate to concepts, signifieds, in arbitrary ways. Fair enough. But heaven forbid they express this insight in terms an average person might grasp. Instead, they buried it under avalanches of neologisms, diagrams, and conceptual distinctions that required a PhD just to parse a single paragraph. It's as if they decided the best way to demonstrate that language is arbitrary was to make their own language as arbitrarily difficult as possible. Then along came the post-structuralists, who essentially said, "You think that's confusing? Hold my absinthe." Led by Jacques Derrida, these intellectual terrorists introduced concepts like différence, with an A to be extra annoying since you can't hear the difference when spoken, trace, and supplement, terms specifically designed to resist definition and make undergraduates cry during final exams. Derrida insisted that meaning is never fixed, always deferred, constantly shifting, a philosophical position he demonstrated by writing books so deliberately obscure that their meaning remains deferred to this day. The true masterstroke of both movements was convincing academia that incomprehensibility was actually a virtue, that if you could understand an argument easily, it must not be sophisticated enough. It's like a restaurant claiming their food is gourmet because it's impossible to identify any of the ingredients, or like modern art galleries charging admission for people to stare confusedly at fire extinguishers.